This is Crosswalk Talk with Carlotta Waldman. Carlotta is the founder of Crosswalk Life Ministries, an ordained minister of counseling, registered nurse, and Bible college educator. I'm Dan Baker, and welcome to this edition of our broadcast. Crosswalk Talk is a weekly Christian talk show all about knowing and experiencing God in our lives. We call it Crosswalk Talk because Jesus died on the cross and made it possible for us to walk the walk. And we all know that our walk talks much louder than our talk talks. This is your show, your opportunity to share true stories of healing, miracles, provision, and God intervening in the lives of people today. And now, here's Carlotta.
Well, thank you, Dan. I am so happy to have Dr. Sarah McConza with us again today because she is going to make it more clear, not only to those who might want restoration prayer ministry by phone or might come from another city or even another country, but she's going to make it more clear what it was like for someone to receive restoration prayer ministry when they're actually from another nation. So those of you from other nations, perk up now because you are going to be able to hear firsthand what it's like to receive restoration prayer ministry when you're also dealing with getting visas and making long distance plans and wondering what to bring and how long to stay. We're going to talk about some of those things. So first of all, I'd like to just begin by welcoming you, Dr. Sarah, and asking you, how did you first hear about Restoration Prayer Ministry?
I heard about Restoration Prayer Ministry from a friend. I met a friend and we started talking about some things we could do. We have a passion for children's ministry. And then after some time, we were talking, and then, you know, I think she could hear from my voice that I was sort of like losing some of the power in me. And then I just said something a little bit like, the enemy is really, really at work trying to stop whatever God wants to do in my life. And then she mentioned that from what I was saying, we should pray with another friend. She called a friend and we were on a three-way conference on the phone and we were praying. And both of them said they discerned that I need restoration prayer ministry.
Well, I know it's a big jump to leave your home, to make an appointment, to be in someone else's home, to go to their ministry and to travel, and especially if you don't have a car there to leave whenever you want. It takes prayer to make a decision like that. Even if you're going to visit with us for 3 or 4 days, in your case, several more days, it's a big decision to decide to come and to receive ministry from someone that you really have never had a conversation before face to face. So, Sarah, would you explain to our listeners, especially keeping in mind there are people from any number of countries, we hear from people from 83 different countries, what it's like? What did you receive from Restoration Prayer Ministry? What were the results in your own life?
In my life, the results were, number one, confirmation of a prophecy that God made to me a long time ago. I was reading Isaiah 63, and he talked about restoration. Just the book of Isaiah 61, 62, 63. He talked about restoration, that my life would be restored. And I wasn't sure what he was talking about. I thought maybe I'll have material things. And so, but I knew that it was a spiritual thing he was talking about. So when I came here, I learned that my life was actually off course as long as I have not addressed the issue of strongholds that are holding me, keeping me from understanding that all the things that bring about eternal death to your life are tied to different types of strongholds, so that eternal life, the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ, cannot be manifest in you. I learned then what God meant when he said that he would bring about restoration to me. It was a learning and understanding. I learned secondly that there are godly and ungodly beliefs. I didn't understand all those things. In other words, it was a process for me to understand that there are ungodly beliefs and that I have made these ungodly beliefs. That if I say I'm a child of God, and the next minute I'm even saying, oh, God hasn't done this, therefore he's not at work. That somewhere there, in those contradictions, I need to sit down with someone to tell me that God loves me even when he hasn't done something. It is not in his plan, but I must stay in the godly belief that I am his child. He is in me all the time. He is the one who is working this process of restoration for me. That if I had him way back when I was in Swaziland reading Isaiah saying he will restore my life, he was going to educate me on who he is, educate me on the ungodly beliefs I have made. And I must say that this ungodly belief, ask for forgiveness for the fact that I didn't even trust him. I even condemned him and even, you know, had those grudges that why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? And because of the lack of knowledge that I had, I learned that the Lord loves me enough to bring someone into my life to teach me that I am his child and he wants eternal life for me. And he can understand what I don't understand. And in his time, he will bring someone who will explain those truths to me, truths about who I am. And then for me to speak those truths, because the word of God is power when it comes out of my own mouth, binding the strongholds, the spirits of the devil that bring about these strongholds, and then claiming what gift Jesus Christ gives to me. And that this is a process. If I say it's a process, someone will think it's a process you can do maybe in 3-minute prayers, the prayers we've been hearing. Say you love Jesus, Jesus is in your life. We have said those, I had said those maybe about 5 times in different occasions, different revivals, but this is not about that. This is how to bring about Christ into your life and walk with him.
Amen. I think many Christians know that they have blocks in their life. They know that they have cycles that they have not been able to overcome. They know that there are certain generational sins that they saw their ancestors doing and now they're doing. They know that when their buttons are pushed, we would say that they overreact and they must have unhealed hurt somewhere. They recognize that they may have inner vows that they would never marry again, or they would never be a minister, or they would never speak in public, that could still be holding them back, but they don't know what to do about it. Those are just a few examples that when we do restoration prayer ministry with a minister or someone that's called to ministry, I always write 8 or 9 pages of blocks that are in their lives, and then the last 4 sessions we go about praying about them. This is just one thing that we would be offering in the internship modules that we're offering now, that in the first 4 months you would receive and you would also observe. For instance, say we have a few interns here at the same time that are starting at the same time you are, then you would be able to not only receive restoration prayer ministry like Dr. Sarah just said, but you could also, once you have received restoration prayer ministry, you could observe as I minister to someone else and you could intercede. You wouldn't be helping to lead or assisting at that point, but in the first module, you not only receive ministry in many ways, you'd receive prophetic ministry, you'd receive teaching and training that would teach you who you are in Christ and train you how to tear down strongholds. And you would receive training about how to adjust your personality style to be more effective, or how to recover from abuse, or how to use your spiritual gifts, and all of those seminars that are on the homepage. So in this first module, you can receive many things and observe me as I minister to others. And some of you, you may be participating at some point, but you would not, say on a ministry trip, you wouldn't be taking the lead at that point. I'd like to ask you, Dr. Sarah, if you come back, and I know that you're praying about it, if you come back, what would you like to observe in ways of ministry? And if you attend Module 1, what would you like to observe and learn more about?
I'd like to observe how restoration ministry is done in action, to learn how to teach and learn about strongholds, hear a lesson on strongholds, and then read the verses that support what I have heard, and then learn to listen to the Holy Spirit about my own life and about somebody who is afflicted, and how to impart to them what God wants me to impart. I would like to learn more about the power of strongholds in people's lives and how to break this power, to help them to see where they are in the captivity that I am, because I've learned about the captive spirit, the slumbering spirit, and so on and so forth, for them to see where they are, and then to see that breaking this spirit is a process, and then observe how this is done in action. I would like also to learn, especially about women. I have a passion for women, because cultures teach women so many things, and cultures tend to be a stronghold, in my opinion, because they are so structured that women learn that they are people in a certain way in that particular culture. I would like to learn more about strongholds, and actually for my country, Swaziland, because I have lived there, analyze the strongholds that women are in, and, you know, look at the issues of women and culture. And then I would also like to learn in the prophetic class how to hear the word of God in spirit, how to listen to the word of God, especially because if I'm working with someone, I want to impart to them what the Lord has said to them. And then in the prophetic class, where we learn about hearing the word of God, and then learn how to impart, and possibly learn so that the other person also picks up how to listen to the word of God for themselves. And I would like to learn in the classes on dying to the self and letting Christ, who died on the cross, walk with me, you know, so that laying my life down or giving my life to Christ, being believing and walking with Christ all the time, because he is the one who does this work in me.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because at first glance, when someone looks at the seminars and the training that we offer on our webpage, they might think it's psychological, but actually it's not. Most of the people that fail in ministry fail and go home from missions, especially because they cannot get along with the other missionaries. And we are learning how to adjust our personality style so that we can get along with people, so that we can obey scripture and defer one to another, or learn our leadership style. But it's not just psychological. We're not learning to run a business. We're learning to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to operate in our spiritual gifts, to tear down our own fleshly strongholds, to know how to pray more effectively with others and for others. We're going to be talking about healing and laying hands on people and expecting them to be healed, or their healing process to begin right then. We're going to be learning how to own our spiritual power and authority, to not only take dominion back that we were given in the beginning, but to exercise as a minister who's not trying to prove that they have authority, not trying to dominate and control other people. But Dr. Sarah, we were talking about this morning how when a person has been trained and mentored thoroughly, that they have their authority issues already in place. They've already submitted to authority. They know that they're trained and equipped to do what God's called them to do. And therefore, they can humbly minister to other people. They don't even have to, we were talking about, you don't even have to shout that much because you own your own spiritual authority in Christ. And so those seminars that we offer on the homepage would be a good example of what a person would experience, what they could observe and learn from for themselves in Module 1, the first 4 months. If this is something that would interest you, I encourage you to go from the homepage and click on the internship, read about it, read about the qualities of a person that wants to be mentored, and look at the application and see if you would like more information about applying. But today we also want to talk about, there may be things that people want to be trained to do also that would widen the scope of their ministry. Maybe they're already proficient, like you are, Dr. Sarah, in teaching, but they would like to learn more about laying hands on people and healing them as they partner with Jesus to impart healing. Or maybe they want to learn how to lead small groups, or how to do restoration prayer ministry, or how to operate in their spiritual gifts better. But tell us, if you attend Module 2, where you're actually be assisting us in ministry, and you're beginning to be trained to do other types of ministry, what types of ministry would you like more training in?
I would like to have more training in restoration prayer ministry and in mentoring others, you know, teaching and learning, and even praying for the healing ministry and also healing itself, learning more about healing. And just role play, how when I'm working with someone, role play, to me, it seems to be to give a person a safe place where they can even raise their voice and articulate who they are and even tell them that it's free, it's good to stand in the mirror and speak the word of God and say, I am a child of God, because people need different types of ways to affirm themselves, to be equipped to understand their word, that their word is important, to see themselves speaking what God said when he said, let us make Sarah in our own image. He never said that the devil must come and then erase this and say Sarah is a captive. He never said that, let us make a captive. For them to learn these things, and also learn that it's a process that they must repeat the word of God that supports that this is true.
Amen. Now, as you fill out your applications for internship, we give you an opportunity to say what you believe your spiritual gifts are now and what your natural talents are now. Talents that God has given you, that he's been giving you opportunities to be equipped or trained or taught. And then we ask you what you would like more training in. Where would you like more experience? What would you like to learn and to take away with you? And so as you consider staying even for 3 modules, that would be not only the first 4 months and the second 4 months where you would receive some training and maybe sometimes assist. In the 3rd module, then you would have an opportunity to take the training that you've gotten and begin to step out. You might assist me as we teach a seminar or assist me as we pray for healing. Or you might be at that place where you could take the lead sometimes and you would be the person that would be teaching or praying for someone to be healed or set free. Or you might be able to lead out in some of the sessions on restoration prayer ministry or help teach seminars as you've studied the contents of these seminars and begun to have faith. But you've gotten to that place then. See, in Module 1, you're not even conscious of what all you don't know yet. In Module 1, you're becoming conscious of where you need to be more competent. In Module 2, you're conscious of where you're not competent, and you're given opportunity to be activated in areas that could be strengthened that God is calling you to. Or maybe it wouldn't be a main emphasis of your ministry, but that you know that you will need to be able to minister that way sometimes. In Module 3, on the other hand, You are really becoming competent in many areas of ministry, and you will know that you are. And as we give you opportunities to practice prayer ministry or healing ministry or teaching or training, then you can become that person that is competent without giving it so much thought. You don't have to concentrate so hard because you do have experience, and that would be our goal in Module 3, to give you experiences so that when you leave here, say you apply to stay for a year, when you leave here at the end of that year, then you would have not only been mentored, you'd not only have role-playing experiences, but you would have actually ministered to or trained real people yourself. And so that you would feel that you are competent in some areas. Some of your weak areas would be stronger. Now, Dr. Saraji, can you see that far down the road at what you would like to be trained to do and actually have experience, know that you have done it and can do it? At the end of Module 3, if you stay that long, what would your goal be that you would like to be stronger in?
I would like to be stronger in helping people find themselves in Christ, find out that they are the ones who must understand how to break the stronghold of death on their lives, and then ask Jesus to come into their lives because he is the gift of eternal life. I would like them to understand that the ungodly beliefs that block them from understanding that Christ is in them need to be talked about. There are areas of forgiveness that they must ask forgiveness for, things that were done even by generations that don't have to do with them. They may not even know, but if you know your history, it's important. One of the things that you might even start doing that God helped me with was to study my history. It was revealing a lot about who was in my family, even from 1800. So this helped me to bring down, to understand which strongholds over generations should be broken. So that I understood if my family was based on maybe always being bankrupt, that this ungodly belief and this generational sin of always just being bankrupt did not come from God because he's a provider. I had to renounce it and then claim the gift of God, that he is the omnipotent God who loves me and who owns everything. God had shown me in many ways that he owns everything, but I didn't understand how to claim it and make it mine through the blood of Christ and staying with Christ. So that is what I would like to learn. I would also like to learn more about how to help women in my country and children. Because right now, the children who have lost parents, they are going to be the women of and men of tomorrow. And I would like them growing up to know that they really have Christ to rely on to create lives that are Christ-centered. So through these courses, I would like to learn about how to heal all these hurts, generational hurts, break strongholds, and understand healing, and also help people know that Christ is a healer, and that Christ in us is a healer, and he heals through us, through the laying of hands on other people, if that is what he wants. That he can tell us when we learn to listen to the word, how to go about bringing about healing in somebody's life. Because when we die to self, he becomes the person that he is, the healer, he is the teacher, he's the one who shows you, he's the prophet. He shows you all these areas that concern a person's life.
I would also like to offer some practical skills that people can become more proficient that will help them either establish their own ministry or to continue and expand their own ministry. For instance, almost everyone that comes here wants to learn more about computer skills. They want to learn how to have a more efficient email ministry, which we certainly enjoy that. They want to learn more about how to organize their ministry, and administration is very, very important. They want to learn computer skills in terms of having a website, how to build it, how to maintain it, how to draw people to the gospel on the internet, maybe how to have their own broadcast like we're doing now, or how to record videos. There's so many technical skills that we can explore, and as we learn to do them, then you become proficient at it. And that's one reason that we offer internship, where we train you for 20 hours a week, and then you work for us 20 hours a week. Because during that time, as you sow into someone else's ministry, like I did in the 90s, I was learning how to establish my own. I was learning how to spread the gospel around the world. I was learning how to communicate with people effectively and how to solve problems and stay in the spirit at the same time. I was learning how to work with other people. You might need help of how to set up your accounting. I am not an accountant, but I know basics of how to run a ministry. You might need help with learning how to incorporate if you're in the United States. Now, I don't know much about incorporating in another country, but many of these principles may be transferable. And we would be talking about legal aspects. People need insurance sometimes to protect them if someone accuses them falsely or comes against their ministry. We'd be talking about how to set up schedules, how to encourage people, for instance, to schedule seminars. I don't go and hold a seminar for someone just because they send an email and ask me. They need to fill out and let me know on the application to host a seminar. Things like who is going to be my host? Is the leadership in agreement? Exactly what time schedule are we talking about? Who can come? How long? All those things are things that you might think, well, of course I can do that, and maybe you can. But most people need training on how to properly communicate with other leaders and make it clear so that no one is defrauded. And I would like to offer you this well-rounded training so that you not only observe and receive for yourself in Module 1, you not only are taught how to do something, and you get to observe how it's done and ask questions and role play with each other as students, but in Module 3, you would actually be doing it. You would be helping to teach or helping to train or helping to do restoration prayer ministry or have hands on a computer learning how to set up a ministry or learning how to communicate about finances or seminars or itinerant schedules. And so that when you leave here, that you would not be tall and finished, but you would have given God an opportunity for a year. You would have given us an opportunity for a year, if you stay that long, to be mentored, to how to conduct yourself as a mentor. Because God makes a minister not only in his ministry methods and how he ministers, but also how he manages money, how his marriage is going, how his manners are. We call it the 10 M's. I won't teach it right now. But people's first impression of us as ministers often has nothing to do with ministering to them as an individual. They observe our manners, or how we communicate about money, or how we manage things. And they see these things first and may decide whether to invite us or not based on that. But first of all, our concerns will be about you. Dr. Sarah, would you like to give any other advice before we close? Any tips, any suggestions to those that are coming from other nations, what they need to have in place or pray about, or what they need to prepare in order to apply to come as an intern? What do they need to do before they come?
I've just given opinion on this as a person from Swaziland who has been to the United States. But I'm asking people to find out from the American embassy of their country what they need to come to the United States. After they have written to the ministry, filled the applications, and they understand the obligations, sometimes the American government will say they want to see a bank statement. I would like people to deal with that issue. Maybe even before you pay for your fees to come to the States, present the bank statement and whatever the American government wants, if it wants a ticket, and then after that you withdraw and you pay your money for the ministry. Because if you do one before the other, you might find that by the time you have the ticket, you have sent your money over here to the U.S. I would like people to understand that they will need visas to come here for a specific time, that these times are usually specified, so that when you buy your ticket, also understand that you need a return ticket. The American government will require a return ticket. And then also to know that usually there is no refund for return tickets if you change your schedule. So know how long you will stay here and how when you will go back. And other things that I would advise personally is to seek the will of God for finding funds, because coming to the U.S. is difficult, living here is difficult. This is a financial challenge to people living in countries where the currencies are very low in the world. We know that the dollar and other country currencies are among the highest currencies in the world. So I'm asking people to pray about coming here and know that God wants them to come because He wants to change the world and He is the provider. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, He is going to guide us and He is going to provide and speak to other people to provide. But to know that we must be equipped financially, spiritually, and physically. We need things like insurance. When you are in the United States, you cannot come sometimes and think that the state will just help you when you are sick the way it happens in Africa. Here you have to have insurance, your own medical insurance. So it is important to look into those issues as well.
And can someone from other nations generally purchase that insurance?
I think they can purchase insurance. It depends on which insurance you purchase and how much you have, and the prices for insurance vary.
And some may need to get international health insurance. That might be the way to go. Many of these things we will mention on our websites. We're adding pages, and you'll need to go from one page to another. First, there might be an information page about being an intern, and then you'll need to click on a link and go to the page where the application is. Then we'll have a page that outlines the three modules, and you don't have to stay a year. You can choose to come for one, or stay for two, or stay for three. Some people that are hearing this are in the United States, and you might say, I can only come for 1 month. I don't need as much training. Maybe you already have your own ministry. You can come for 1 month and basically observe, for instance, how Restoration Prayer Ministry is done. But for those of you that are going to make a significant investment of time and energy, we'd like you to look at the curriculum, and even though it's just going to give topics, we're not going to give a full course description of each area that we'll cover. Just be very aware in your own mind, I'm going to have to pay a month in advance. We consider it a very good opportunity for you to come, and we want to know who's coming, and we ask for it a month in advance so that if God does not provide, we will agree that this is not your season to come, but we will give your room to someone else. And that's why we need to know a month in advance. It's not that we're hungry for your money, but we want to make sure that the rooms are filled and the people that are hearing God and God is confirming that they're to come are able to come. So we want to make sure, just like if I was going to your country, I would not want to go if God wasn't in it. I might be able to force people to give me money and I might be able to get myself there. But we look for God to confirm that you're coming, that it's God's timing. And if it is, He will provide. And then the stress about finances will not be there because we'll know that God is providing. And He holds all of our times in His hands. And so we want to encourage you to come. We want you to encourage you to believe for miracles, but we also encourage you to be sent. Many people can try to send themselves. They have no churches behind them, no investors or no benefactors or no people giving offerings and honorariums. No one believes in them yet. If that's the case, that there's no one that will send you and send $400 a month or more for you to be trained, then what you would need to do is to get under covering where you are. You need to get under leadership, come under authority where you are, allow them to train you and teach you and mentor you where you are. Be faithful to sow into ministries where you are. I was sowing into 4 ministries for months at a time before God gave me my own ministry. And it's His, yes. But I was sowing into others first. And after you sow into the ministries of other people in your area, God will raise up people that will send you for more training. So you have to be faithful where you are. Sow into the vineyards of other people, so to speak. And then He will give you your own vineyard. And there will be those who you have served faithfully, who believe in you, who share your vision, who know that you are sent, who will sponsor you to come here. And so if you've not been faithfully sowing yet, if there's no one that will send you and believe in you, then you need to start there. You need to start there, because when we're faithful in small things, then He will give us much. Amen? Amen. Dr. Sarah, is there anything else that you would like to say to those that are praying about receiving, observing, assisting, and learning to lead out in new areas of ministry?
I would like them to know that this is a prayer ministry and we are praying for them because God is changing the world. We are praying for them to be blessed with God's provision, with the finances and documents that they need to come, and that we are not rushing things, but in God's time this will happen because it is in His plan that all people in this world should know the truth about Him.
Amen. Our vision is to continue to sow into other people's ministries, and we consider it an honor to sow our time and energy and experience into you and to multiply it that way. On the other hand, be sure to look at each and every requirement that we're posting on the internet, because we also are mature and we know how to have boundaries. If you do not meet those requirements, we will not agree for you to come. We have heard from God. We've been to ministry training school ourselves. So I just want you to know that we're very much into hearing God and not being out of His timing. And we will believe with you, but we're going to believe that He will do the miracles on your end, that the people that have trained you and that you have served will experience miraculous, supernatural provision if necessary. But we're going to believe that He will send that provision from your country and your people to take care of you. And we hope to see you soon. We hope that you apply. We hope that you begin by emailing us and letting us know what your vision is, what you would like to do, what God has called you to do. And we will begin to believe with you and pray with you, knowing that God is raising up laborers, that the fields are definitely wide unto harvest. And it'll be our pleasure to teach and train and learn from you. Amen? Amen. So we hope to hear from you soon.
And that concludes this edition of Crosswalk Talk. If you would like to learn more about knowing and experiencing God in your own life, please visit our website at www.cwlinc.com. There you'll find articles as well as audio from past Crosswalk Talk broadcasts and many other resources. You'll also find a link to our online bookstore where you can help support Crosswalk Life Ministries. We carry a large selection of Christian books, music, video, and more, all available to you at a 25% discount. If you have a testimony of your own that you would like to share, please contact us by email at cwt@cwlinc.com. or call us at 740-695-9255. That's 740-695-WALK. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you'll be with us again each week for more Crosswalk Talk.
I could have four children and fame, go anywhere, do anything, but oh God, I just want you. I could search for